This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Open for Business. My name is Rich Bradbury. You are, of course, tuned into Enterprise. A couple of weeks ago, I put out an ad on Instagram and Facebook calling for young businesses, entrepreneurs to get in touch about their business if they had an interesting story and to let me know about it. I managed to get an email from both Christian Lee and Mark Chu, who are the co-founders of Tribe. Tribe is a boutique boxing studio. Not just did I just get an email, though, I got a full-on pitch, which is something that we very rarely get on Enterprise. And when something like this comes through, which has been thought out and put into a story for me that I can read and digest in the size of one email, it stands out. And so, you know, for you young entrepreneurs out there, that is a tip that I'm going to give you now. You know, if you're pitching for an interview or something, make it nice, coherent, and something that I can look at and digest very easily. With that in mind, let's talk about Tribe. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's a long story to get to where you are, right? Yes. You've been running successfully for 2 years thereabouts now.
Yeah. Just under 2 years.
The voice you just heard first there was Chris. Chris, do you want to just kind of go backwards a little bit and kind of, between the two of you, tell me the story of how you've gotten to where you are now with Tribe? Where did it all start?
All right. Well, thanks for having us. So how it started, when I graduated from university back in 2015, I kind of immediately went into starting my own business as well, a separate business, which is in tech. And after about a year and a half, I kind of realized two things. I craved more social interaction. And I also,
you were lonely.
Lonely, yes. Doing a tech startup, a lot of the times you're just pitching to strangers that you don't really know and you won't probably see again. Yeah. So I was creating more like social interaction on a day-to-day basis. I was also looking for the second thing, which is a really good co-founder, right, to start something. So for the first one, I was weighing out my options and I was thinking about either going into F&B, which my parents have over 20 years of experience in, and that has a lot of people. You know, you got to meet your customers, you got to meet your stakeholders. But something that was coming up at that time as well was something called boutique fitness studios, boutique gyms. These were gyms, studios that were a little bit small in size compared to commercial studios. Bit more niche in terms of the workout they offered. So they only offered one, two, or three different workouts. And it's a bit more premium. So the pricing as well is a bit higher than usual, but people are willing to pay it because of the service they get and because of the extra perks with the community and whatnot. So that's the first part. And then the second part was finding that co-founder that I wanted. And actually growing up, I spent most of my time with a few friends from GIS Garden School, and one of them was Chris. And we literally did everything together, from football to friends to even seeing the same girlfriends, if you will. So he didn't tell me to say that. So I kind of very quickly knew I wanted to partner up with Christine for this project, and I kind of went to him first as well. So when I was very excited, I gave him a call. I was like, Chris, I need to meet up with you. We met up. And, you know, when I told him, like, hey, I want to start a boutique fitness studio with you, he looked at me for a bit and he kind of just said, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it was as rigid as a no, but I was a bit hesitant. First of all, basically, my life revolved around tennis. So I started playing tennis since I was about 5 years old. Carried it along with me throughout primary school, secondary school, and even university. And tennis was everything. I was playing at a national level. And I also wanted to pursue tennis as a career after I graduated from university in the States. So I was playing tennis for about, on the national circuit, also professionally, countries around Southeast Asia and stuff like
Don't
that.
Don't be modest, Chris. You were in the SEA Games, weren't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was also in the SEA Games. Totally forgot.
Don't be modest.
Yeah, so SEA Games was back in 2017. And actually, this was a similar time when, leading up to the SEA Games anyway, Mark had kind of proposed this idea to me. This was like in April, I think, of 2017, and SEA Games was in August. At first, I was very hesitant. First off, you know, I only play tennis. Like, that's like my life. And also, secondly, I hadn't started a business before, and I didn't know what to expect if I could personally do it. And was this the right transition for me after tennis? Mm. But as the year went by, I also started feeling that maybe this would be a good opportunity for me to lead tennis, actually, because I can't play tennis like until I'm 50, 60 or whatever. And it's very straining physically and mentally. And I wanted to find another way that I could pursue a separate passion. And as the months went by, I think we started talking about it a bit more.
Was he one of those friends who was constantly badgering you about it? You know, what about that idea? What about that idea? What about that idea?
I think to a certain extent, yes. Like, he eventually got me on board for sure.
Right.
If it wasn't for Mark, I don't think I would have been convinced enough, because I just wasn't as sure of myself as maybe he wasn't me. So he kept telling me about it. And as the months went by, I was like, you know, I think there's actually something I could really, really do. Mm. And I feel like if I'm passionate about something, I'm going to be 100% with it. Mm. But that would also come at a cost, because that would mean I would actually have to stop tennis to really try what it is today with Mark.
Okay. Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to pick up in that kind of introduction. Yep. Mark, you know, it's okay you saying that you and Chris did a whole bunch of stuff when you were kids, yeah, and you grew up together and you played sports together. But what was it about him that you thought would be a good partner in a business? Because a decision like that amongst friends is something that can lead one of two ways. You know, you can either do very, very well, or you can end up fighting like cat and dog, and it become one of those things where you don't want to see each other anymore. It's a very fine line.
It feels like that sometimes. But for me and Chris, I think we had similar values. We had similar interests. We both studied in America, for one. And I remember traveling with Chris to all over America, and especially for music festivals. We went to like the big ones in Belgium, which is Tomorrowland, mm-hmm, Vegas, and EDC. So we both like music. We both like fitness. And, you know, I think that's very important to kind of like the same thing, because you guys, you're able to see eye to eye on certain things. And I think the second thing, which is probably more important than the first one, would be I trusted Chris.
Right.
I trusted him as a friend, as a person. I think that's really important. So whatever he said, whatever he told me, I wouldn't doubt it. Mm. And I hope that he had the same trust in me. And I think that's why we have worked well for the last 2 years.
This is how many years ago? Two and a bit? Three almost?
2017. So I would say, yeah, actually, to confirm this was going to happen, I don't know, for some reason, one day in October, because I think it was still a bit rocky. We weren't like 100% sure about the funding, the idea and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But for some reason, I don't know what came about, but I just called Mark and said, look, are we doing this or not? Because I think I needed a decision, like, am I going to go 100% of this?
So I can focus on something,
yes,
right?
Or do I just continue my tennis?
Right, right.
You know?
So, tennis expert, you know, why did you shift then to boxing? Of all the sports you could have picked, what was it about boxing that you thought, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open a boutique and we're going to do boxing. Why?
Yeah, it's pretty strange, actually. We had a couple ideas, whether it be like HIIT, yoga, cycling. There's so many different things it could be. But we came to the fact that boxing wasn't fully exposed in Malaysia yet to the overall masses. You know, you have your regular fighting gyms and stuff like that. But we wanted to completely change that kind of mindset towards the fighting gyms. And we wanted to make boxing a lot more accessible, group-based, and not as intimidating. You know, people have the perception of boxing that you actually have to hit someone.
Yep.
But in our studio, you actually don't.
Right.
You can just release as much anger as you have on the back, have as much fun with your friends as possible, and just have a good time. Yeah.
Okay. Hold that thought. We are going to take a short break. You're tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM. We're speaking with Christian Lee and Mark Chu, the co-founders of Tribe, the boutique boxing studio, here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Welcome to Open for Business on Enterprise. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Mark Chu and Christian Lee. They are the co-founders of Tribe, a boutique boxing studio. Just before the break, we were talking about the kind of journey to the start of Tribe, about their background, how they've known each other for quite some time, traveled together, studied together in the US, And then decided to open up this boutique boxing studio, despite the fact that Christian has been playing tennis his entire life. Which seemed like, for me, it seemed like not an odd decision, but a progression from one discipline to another discipline. And of course, I mentioned that the two of you obviously are close and that this could lead to arguments and that kind of stuff as you were forming the business. Did that happen when you were starting the business earlier on?
Yes, I think definitely in the first year, we did have a lot of fights just because we were trying to see what worked, what didn't work, how could we improve ourselves individually. I think working with a very, very close friend, you know, you have massive risks, right? But also high rewards if it goes well. I think fortunate enough for us, after the first year, I think we were able to surpass that. And I think our relationship in work and outside of work is better than before. If you agree.
I agree. I 99.9% agree. I think for me and Chris as well, we decided to kind of see that working together is a lot more beneficial than working apart.
Right.
And I knew I couldn't do this without him. He knew he couldn't do this without me. We have very complementary skills and mindsets. So we kind of, I think the most important thing is we set our boundaries. We told each other, like, candidly, what we expect from each other, what we don't.
Mark, you're good at this. Chris, you're good at that. Yes. Stick to those things.
Kind of like
is that
yeah.
kind of how it works?
Yes.
Has it been difficult to not cross those boundaries at times?
We try to help each other out. Mm. Let's say when one's away or maybe one is doing too much. Then we try to step in, but we, I guess we don't do it too often, I would say.
I mean, the reason that I'm asking these questions is because you're a fairly new startup, right?
Yeah.
Two years old. There's people out there around your age, I'm assuming, who have these great ideas. They want to start up a business, but they want to hear things like this. You know, they want to hear what went wrong at the beginning. What did you go through at the beginning until you've gotten to that point where you are now considering yourselves successful? You know, you're doing well. So let's talk a little bit about that. We've talked a little bit about your pain points. We've talked a little bit about the idea and its kind of inception. Where did the funding come from? Okay, you've got your great idea. Did you fundraise? Did you speak with your parents? Did you speak with your friends? How did the money come around?
So I think it's a little bit of everything. Chris and I, we came from, I wouldn't say we came from very wealthy backgrounds. I wouldn't say we came from poor backgrounds. I think we were very just middle class, well off, well enough for our parents to send us to university in America.
Right.
But after that, for this particular venture, for me personally, I already started a startup. So, and my parents funded that initial startup for me. And for this one, my parents kind of said, actually, you're on your own, because they actually didn't agree to me even starting the second one.
Oh.
Yes.
Because
they didn't fully understand the concept. Because like Chris said, this was a very new concept. You know, people thought, they, especially my parents, they thought that you would be boxing each other. Mm. Why would you open a gym when you have a startup that has a good potential? So my parents actually chose not to invest into this one. So I was in a bit of pickle because I personally also didn't have enough money. So what we did was I sold a bit of my shares. I sold whatever I could find, stocks on my name, things like that. But mainly we went to pitch to every single person we knew, whether it's friends of friends, siblings, you know, even acquaintances. We kind of just went everywhere. So I remember pitching to people right before my flight. I remember pitching to people in dinner parties. I remember pitching to people in toilets. No, I'm joking.
You're one of those.
Not toilets.
You just bring up the idea literally everywhere we go.
But you have to be ready at all times to kind of do a quick 2-3 minute elevator pitch.
Was there not a part of you, though, that was a little scared that maybe pitching like that, somebody might steal your idea?
I think, yes. I think borderline, kind of. But I think we were so deep into it that, like, we just had to go with it.
Right.
Yeah. And I think ideas are easily accessible. Ideas are everywhere. It's just execution. And I think me and Chris were confident that we could execute it.
Yeah. So for me, you know, playing tennis at the level I was at, compared to, like, the top hundreds, like the Federers, the Nadals and stuff, it's not very glamorous. You don't earn a lot of money. Actually, about the top 100, 200, they're just about breaking even, actually. For me, I didn't have a lot of money, but I had very supportive parents, fortunately, that were able to fund me. And I do hope to pay them back one day. But even with what Mark came up with and myself, it was not nowhere near enough to actually start. So like Mark said, he pitched to a lot of people. Of course, we did some proper sit-down pitches as well to acquaintances or friends of friends who were interested already in the fitness industry, maybe about 30 people or so. It just wasn't working out. I think the idea was just was too new.
Timing.
Yeah, timing. We had to rush things. It was really, really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, like 2 or 3 months before we were meant to open. Two of our, one of them was a mutual friend. Really we're not that close. And then the other one was one of my brother's friends who kind of said, hey, I like the idea. I think that's potential. And they decided to put in the remaining, 20 to 40% of the business.
Brilliant. Yeah. So we're established. We got money. We can open the doors and get rolling. Yeah. How did you start marketing your idea?
We try to do a lot of word of mouth, telling all of our friends, hey, we're opening this fitness studio. Please come support us. I think fortunate enough for us, we do have a pretty good network. So we kept reaching out. We also did some paid ads online, you know, kind of saying new boutique fitness boxing studio is coming.
You got your hashtags down pat.
Yes, yes. We sorted all that out. But yeah, a lot of on ground, actually, to be honest. And we did a lot of flyers. We went to shops, running around, Publica, 1MK, you know, it was a grind. But I think it worked out. When we did our first week, we did a lot of free classes, just to get people through the doors, you know. They have to try it out. I don't think people would have been open to paying to something that they had no idea
right.
what it was about.
Yeah,
so that was really, really important for us. Yeah.
So tell me about the classes that you run then. You know, how does it work? Is there a subscription fee? Is it a kind of a one-off payment? Or can you pay by lesson? How does it work?
So actually, it's per class. The bigger class package you get, the cheaper it is. And most of the packages we have are all shareable. So actually what we do is we try to encourage friends to come together. So you get a big package and you share it amongst yourselves. And then once that finishes, you just buy it again and buy it again. We don't do subscription. The workout is a 15-minute session. It's a full-body workout. And I would say it's about 80% boxing and 20% functional. Functional basically means push-ups, sit-ups, crunches, all that kind of stuff.
And what's the kind of client base being like? Right? Is there a particular demographic that you aimed at, or is it kind of across the board, do you think?
Surprisingly, we have over 70 to 80% female clientele, which is very,
Did that surprise you?
To a certain extent, it is a lot of females, but because this is something that, like we said, boxing inspired group workout. Boxing has been traditionally dominated by males, and to have this many females participating and getting involved in the art and the sports of boxing, that's something that we were very proud of, you know, to get this kind of community to come in. But not just like the gender, but even the age. So our ages do vary. So we have people as young as 16 joining a class. Well, we just started a kids class. So now we have kids as young as 7, but that's specific for kids. And then we have people as old as early to mid 60s doing a class.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've provided a safe, non-judgmental space for people to come and work out.
I think that's actually why so many different ranges of people like to come to our class. It really doesn't matter who you are, your fitness level, gender, age, all that kind of stuff. We try to make it as homey and as least intimidating as possible, because I think that's super important for the customer. If they feel like, you know, you go to your big box gyms, you see those guys like lifting heavy, like grunting really loud, like do I want to be surrounded by those guys? Realistically, I think more than half the population wouldn't want to. So we really try to change that.
Right. I told you before we came on air, I checked out your website and I looked at a whole bunch of stuff on that. It looks very well done. You've clearly done your research. You know, the colors, everything matches the decor of the place that you've got. Your branding is very on point.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Who helped you with that? No, I'm kidding. Is that something that you've spent time and money on, though? You mean you knew that this just wasn't about, let's just open a gym, let's just open the doors, and let's just get people in. It's a whole experience, isn't it? How much research went into that?
Oh, we had like a good few months of research before we even opened. So we looked for inspiration in UK, in the US. And that, I mean, boutique scene in those countries have been around for a few years already. So they're a bit more mature. For Malaysia, we were just starting out in 2000, 2016, 2017. So if you go into a tribe, immediately you see like you know, really high ceilings, you know, white black walls, track lights, LED lights. So it has a very New Yorkish feel, and that's what we kind of want people to feel. We want them to not think that it's a fitness space, it's a purely a boxing studio. We want them to kind of let their imagination kind of do the thing for them. And that goes into our website as well. As you said, like our website, it's clean, it's clear. We want to make sure that user experience online, offline, both are seamless. And for online as well, we try to cut as many steps as possible to get into booking a class. Yeah. I think that's important, and that creates conversions.
Yeah, it's very, very clean and very easy to navigate. Yeah. With that in mind then, what's the website for people who want to find out a little bit more? The address?
Tribebx.co.
Tribebx.co. Okay, and where's the studio at for people who might want to swing by?
Acores Moncara.
There you go. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise. That was Mark Chu and Christian Lee from Tribe Boutique Boxing Studio. I think you guys are going to do well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so
much.
We
hope so.
You've been
thank you for having us.
Absolute pleasure. You have been tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.